Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
There we go. Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Welcome to it.
Morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael.
That thing's in our...
We got to be able to see you.
Yeah.
We have to be able to make eye contact.
That's right.
Communicate.
In case I need to make some googly eyes at you.
You know... I need to be able to see you when I see that inevitable look on your face that usually crops up at least once per show where you look at me and I'm like, oh, he's getting ready to body shame me. I can always tell.
You can tell?
I can tell.
I thought you were going to say, when I look at you when you say something about football and I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait. You hot snot, yeah. You hot snot. Yeah, well, hey, I got to know. Have you been contacted yet?
No, I have not been contacted.
About being the next coach of the Denver Broncos?
No, I have not been
contacted. If Jeff Saturday can become the next coach of the Indianapolis Colts, I immediately saw calls for you to be installed as the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, yes! I saw that too. No, I don't have that. I haven't talked. First off, somebody's got to get fired first. That's interesting.
Interesting. That's the word you're going to use, huh?
Interesting.
That's interesting?
It's interesting.
How about stupid?
Well, why would you say it's stupid?
Stupid. You got a guy who's... Well, it's not stupid if what you're doing is you're trying to tank. Then it's genius. But you can't tell me that you hire a guy who's never coached before. Never coached
before. Well, he coached high school.
Okay. Mid-season.
I believe the last person
he takes over.
To take over as a head coach that has never had any playing experience or any coaching experience at the pro or college level was Norm Van Brocklin.
That's a deep dive.
Yeah, and he actually had a pretty decent record. Here's what I would tell you. Here's what I did. Yeah, I mean, is it out of left field? Absolutely. So Jeff has consulted for them. Jeff is Jeff's a really smart football guy. So he's consulted for the Colts for years. You know, he's got a relationship with Irsay. Here's what I would tell you. And I'll go back to a coach who's maybe the coach of the year, and this is going to be painful for Denver to hear, but let's talk about Pete Carroll. What is Pete Carroll? Now, Pete Carroll's been a head coach at many, many different levels, right? He was a head coach at New England and with the Jets and you know, with USC he built a dynasty for years, and then he came back to Seattle, and he's been to two Super Bowls, this, that, and the other. He was, you know, a DB coach, D coordinator. They gave up all that and has groomed defensive coordinators that have gone on to be head coaches like Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley and yada, yada, yada. And then his offense has always been run by an offensive guy, whether it's Darrell Bevell, Brian Schottenheimer, and now –
Shane Waldron.
So he's the CEO of the football team. He is the guy that is in charge of culture and managing the game. So you can't tell me that Jeff, who's a great culture builder, great guy, can't just come in and be the CEO of the football team.
Still got to make all the decisions, game management.
Yeah.
We've seen how that can overwhelm Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, but you're not... That's all you're doing. You're not calling plays, and you have somebody on your staff that's upstairs that you're having a conversation. Listen, man. Is it odd? Is it interesting? Is it crazy? Is it? Yeah, it's all those things. It's all those things. But they've got former head coach John Fox has been, you know, coached two teams to Super
Bowls. Yeah, why didn't they hire Foxy?
Gus Bradley's there. He's been a head coach.
See, if I'm those guys, I'm pissed. Really? You're gonna make me answer to a guy
that's never coached before.
Who's never done this before.
Tiger makes a stew out of me.
I was on a TV set last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's let's call it progressive.
Progressive. Okay. All right.
Hey, well, in baseball, how many times have they done in baseball? Go back to A.J. Hinch when he coached the Arizona Cardinals. He had never coached more than a little league baseball team. He wasn't even coaching. He was in the scouting department.
Wow.
Well, baseball moves a little slower during the course of the game.
I get it. But, I mean, they're hiring Aaron Boone off the TV set. Alex Cora off the TV set. Go through the list of guys that have never managed at any level. That
sounds to me like you're pushing for an opportunity here. Seems to me like you're pumping up Jeff Saturday to make a case for yourself.
No.
Coach Schlereth.
No.
Hey, Coach Schlereth.
No. Not at all.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm the one guy in Denver that doesn't want to see Hackett get fired.
You are? Yeah.
I'm the one guy.
Because immediately when that started yesterday, hey, Frank Reich, next Broncos coach? Like, the body isn't even warm. I mean, the body is still the body. Already people are still like, hey, Frank Reich next year is the new head coach.
He's not even sick yet.
I mean, we haven't even had time for the body to cool. I mean, come on now.
Can this guy get sick right now, please?
We want to get Frank Reich in here because look at what Frank Reich has done. Congratulations to the Nuggets. Nice win on the road at San Antonio. I love these little mini series that the NBA is doing during the course of the season where you play a team back to back, sometimes and you're in the same city, sometimes it's a home and home, but the Nuggets who beat the Spurs here over the weekend had to go down there yesterday and a good gutty win. One with defense in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Defense closed out that game. And they win. It shows to me that shows good coaching. All you Michael Malone haters out there, good coaching. You had the team ready to play. They were not overconfident. They were ready to go after beating San Antonio. No let up. San Antonio, you knew, would come out with a stronger effort. And the Nuggets got it done on the road.
No excuses, no explanations. Do your job.
Showing some growth, some experience, some maturity.
How's Michael Porter? Michael Porter actually playing pretty well.
Played pretty well. Had 24 last night.
Great cash, homie.
I'll tell you what. We might have to...
Nuggets now 7-3.
Craft an apology.
Relax. Got a ways to go. But nice. Both him, Jamal, working themselves back in. Jamal had 19 last night. So.
Joker solid as always.
Yep. Hey, they're going to ride their core. They're going to ride their big guns. And we'll see how far these guys can take them. So, good win last night. Nuggets now 7-3. 3-3 on the road after a slow start on the road this year. Happy Election Day, everybody. Get out and vote. Make sure you get out and vote. In case a lot of people have already voted, but if you haven't, make sure you get out and vote today. Coming up next, Nathaniel Hackett says the Broncos are one good winning streak away from getting back into this. Does this team have a winning streak in them? And where's it going to come? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's a new season, 9 games, everything's ahead of us. In this league, to be able to get to where you want to go, you have to win a bunch of games in a row. Whether it's in the beginning, whether it's in the end, to put yourself in position to get to the playoffs, you got to win, and you got to win a bunch of them. And we have 9 games available to us. So I think it's about what can you do individually to make yourself better, to get us those 1 or 2 plays. Because we've been in so many games, and it was a great start this past game versus Jacksonville. You know, we had a couple opportunities, guys made some big plays, and we need to build off that, both offense and defense and special teams, because we've got 9 games left. Big season, long season ahead.
Mark, does this Broncos team have a winning streak in them? And by winning streak, I'll define that as a 3-game winning streak. Can this team win 3 in a row?
Sure.
Really?
I mean, of course.
Present your case there, counselor.
Well, of course you could win 3 in a row. They just won one, right? They're on a 1-game winning streak.
Good. Yes.
So you got to start win 2 more? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Since he's talking about this as a new 9-game season, I'm not even counting the win over Jacksonville. So I'm saying over these last 9 games, show me.
Could you beat Tennessee?
You know, it's funny. Johnny Fever noticed this. Tennessee's only a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
And with 3 points for home field, so Vegas is telling you this is a pick'em game.
Right.
Which surprises me. Are they anticipating that Malik Willis is going to be the quarterback again this week?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, Tennessee, it's not like Tennessee's blown people out. I mean, they're going to play hard-nosed.
At Kansas City on the ropes.
Old school football. They gave up 8 million yards and everything. Like, but they're just an old school. They're not blowing people out. Yeah, they had them on the ropes, but they're not going to blow anybody out. So I think you can be in that game. Then certainly what's after that? The Raiders?
Vegas here.
Yeah, Vegas. I mean, Vegas is an absolute poop show. And then who's after that?
At Carolina.
You can't win those three games? You can't put a three-game, that'd be a four-game win streak, but you can't put three games in a row right there off the top?
That's where it's going to have to come from. Because you got a little bit of momentum going into the bye.
Mm-hmm.
You get the reset that every bye represents.
Right. Should be fresh coming into this game. They just played a night game on Sunday night game. I mean, and they've got a backup quarterback who's throwing for about 50 yards a game.
So if it's going to happen here.
It's got to happen here. And the other thing is, you're coming off a game in Jacksonville where you put a couple of drives together that had a little bit of old school Seattle Russell Wilson to them. Some scrambles, some simple concepts, getting the ball out of your hand as a quarterback. Like those are things that you can lean on, that you can build on.
Because you look and you try to find a combination of three straight wins after you get through at Tennessee, home against Vegas, at Carolina. I just don't see it. You're at Baltimore. You're home against Kansas City. You're home against Arizona. You're at the Rams.
Right.
You're at Kansas City. You're home against the Chargers. Yeah, I could see winning a couple in a row. Maybe
I see that.
Maybe home against Arizona at the Rams. The Rams are in desperate straits right now.
Arizona's not a good football team. The Rams are in desperate straits, like you mentioned.
You're not going to win in Baltimore. You never win in Baltimore.
Kansas City.
Enough said.
Yeah, but yeah, that late Kansas City game, if they've got this, you know, I know this division was supposed to be won by the Chargers and the Raiders, but, you know, if late in Kansas City may be a good thing if they're going to start resting guys.
Mm. Two weeks. Yeah.
How many days?
For them, it'd be their second to last game. So they're not going to do that yet.
Probably not.
I'm here.
You're right. That dude is so ridiculously good.
Yeah. He's the boogeyman.
Showtime.
Who was the anonymous GM said, yeah, we figured him out.
Right.
As long as we take away his first read, that guy is just done. What an idiot.
I'm here.
So you're telling me that they're actually, I think I will admit, I'm guilty of this. I think that the people that run and coach in professional sports are really smart. They're not.
No.
A lot of them aren't, are they?
I tell you all that. I've told you this a million times. There's a lot of really bad coaches. There are a lot of really, really bad coaches in this league. And there are a lot of guys that get promoted up through the ranks. You know, it's a Peter Principle thing. You keep getting promoted up until they realize they give you that, you know, the head coaching job, and they realize, hey, whoa, wait. That's right. That guy's an idiot, you know?
There's a reason we kept passing him up.
Yeah, I wonder, like, so.
No, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen here. If they're, I don't know, do you even think about the playoffs as a potential? Do you entertain that thought?
Right now.
As we sit here right now, do you think of the playoffs as still being in play?
Playoffs?
All right, so initially, when you ask me that question, I say absolutely not. I don't think of them as a playoff team. But then when I start digging into the AFC a little bit, and I start thinking about where we currently stand in the AFC, is there a potential there? Yeah, there's a potential there. I mean, a lot of things are going to have to fall your way, and you're going to have to play a lot better football. But do I think that there's a potential there?
Well, if you're able to do what Hackett says, and you need to at some point rip off a winning streak, and we agree that these first three games out of the bye represent your best chance to put together a three-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. If you do that, now you go from 3-5 to 6-5. 6-5, where does that put you? It puts you probably not in. You will not be in the playoffs yet, but you'll be knocking on the door. 6-5 will pretty much have you, I'd say, in the 8th or 9th spot. In the but see that shows you the hole that they've dug. That even if they win 3 in a row on top of what they already have, a 4-game winning streak still isn't enough to actually put them into the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're still behind. All right, if you're looking at the as it currently stands, Buffalo, and now, you know, before we anoint Buffalo, that's a serious, potentially a very serious injury for Josh Allen.
He's got an owie with his elbow.
Yeah, UCL. Although
you could play with that, right? As a quarterback, if you were a major league pitcher, you'd be done. You'd have Tommy John surgery. But can you play with it as a quarterback?
No, I mean, you
did he play with it? Did he miss time with it?
Yes, sprain. But if it's torn and you've got a nerve, you have to do that nerve transfer thing they do for pitchers. And I don't know any of this. And obviously, we'll get more information as the time goes on. But all of a sudden, you look at that situation. I mean, you would think that Miami could catapult itself up to number one. You think New England is charging away there. But you got Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee. And then you got the Jets. Gosh, the Jets. Miami, the Chargers. Then that's your playoff teams is currently constructed. Then you've got New England ahead of us, Cincinnati ahead of us, Indianapolis ahead of us, Cleveland ahead of us. And then there we are.
Well, you win 3 in a row, you'll quickly jump over a few teams. But not enough to get you into the playoffs.
Well, I don't know, Indianapolis, now that Jeff's there.
Good point. To make the playoffs, even if you go 6-5,
by the way, let me go 6-3
the rest of the way, that gets you to 9-8.
Did they have Jeff Saturday's press conference during Monday Night Football? I think they introduced him during, like, not on the bright, like, just on the side, right? Like they did a little press, like, make sure that we bury this behind Monday Night Football when nobody's paying attention.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
I like it.
Morning Brew is coming up. Nathaniel Hackett says, enough's enough. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. And now I mean business. Okay, what does that mean there, Coach? You'll find out next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Penalties, that's something we got to hold everybody accountable to. We point them out. We talk about it. We put presentations up there. But in the end, you know, sometimes it's a crazy game and things happen. But we just got to be sure that everybody understands we can't hurt the team. We can't have those self-inflicted wounds. So we'll be sure to hold all the guys very accountable for their actions and all the things that they're doing just because we want to eliminate that stuff and stop hurting ourselves.
So the Denver Broncos, currently the most penalized team in the NFL, with 70 penalties for 600 yards. Number one in both categories. Guess who's number two in both categories? God, we can't shake this team. Seattle actually is number two.
Really?
Most penalized team
doesn't seem
in the NFL.
It doesn't affect them as much, though.
No. So Nathaniel Hackett says, enough's enough. Enough of these shenanigans.
Yeah.
No more penalties. From this point forward, we hold people accountable. How? Yeah, I love that answer.
Yeah.
What are you going to take away?
Yeah, please.
How are you going to punish them?
Hey, guys, please, please don't. I mean, you don't punish your receivers for not throwing blocks. So I don't know how you're going to. You tell me how you're going to punish guys.
Well, the only way you can really punish a guy is playing time. But these guys know with injuries and everything like this, they're like, who are they going to turn to instead of me?
If you're not going to punish a guy playing time-wise, well, that's the other thing. You don't have a depth enough to punish
exactly,
a guy.
Exactly.
So, Tyree Cleveland's going to replace, you know, that's the guy that's going to replace Cortland Sutton. You say, hey, we've already paid Cortland Sutton. Like, that's the issue. You don't have the depth. And so you could, I mean, I don't know what you can do other than, you know, public shaming. I guess you could do that. Shame some guys publicly. But
like a public flogging?
Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Public floggings.
Right. Just get up on the mic and just start dog cussing dudes.
That'll go over well.
Yeah, I think
that'll go over really well.
I think that would be good.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We got to go in here. We got to find ways to win games. It's not good enough just to be, good. We got to be great, and we got to find ways to sustain being great the second half of the season, especially with the schedule the way it is.
Left unsaid by Justin Simmons, our defense needs to be great because our offense stinks. Come on. And you know why I feel confident saying that? Because did you see how Jalen Ramsey went off on the Rams offense yesterday?
No, I did not.
Yeah. He just came out and said he's sick of the Rams offense stinking and costing him wins.
Well,
Jalen Ramsey on the Rams' fourth quarter performance, giving up the game-winning touchdown to Tom Brady. Quote, the defense should not have had to go back on the field. Simple.
Yeah, that's the way to take responsibility.
Well.
They're a mess.
Well, I get it. You know, don't point the finger, pull the thumb and all that, but he's being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a Rams fan, you'd be like, this offense stinks.
It does
stink. Killing the defense.
It does.
Same things we say here.
Yeah, it does stink. But you know what, Jalen Ramsey, you're given another opportunity to make a stop, and you guys don't protect the sideline. You give up a big, you know, you give up a seam route to a tight end that puts you in a position with 50 seconds left. You can't make a play. I mean, you bite on play. You're in shotgun. You guys, I don't even understand with Tom Brady. You bite on some play action or something. Come on, stop. Yeah, they do stink. You're right. They do. Absolutely.
And that's how the Broncos defense looks.
By the way, it makes me feel good. I take a certain perverse pleasure in the Rams just stinking it up. You know why?
Because they gave up all their offensive linemen.
Yeah. I have a perverse pleasure in, oh, it's all about the quarterback. You know, the D-Max of the world standing on a soapbox so they can be, you know,
a little taller.
5'11". And it's a giant soapbox. And then they're stomping on their, you know, they're stomping their feet, basically saying, it's all about, if you just have to have a quarterback, you just, that's all you need is a quarterback. If you just have a quarterback, and you got to get him in the top five or the top 10, if you get it, stop it. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, like it noted, this is Mark Schlereth, not Mike Evans.
I'm just letting you know.
When you start your 2 o'clock show with your rant against the morning show, make sure you...
All I'm saying is yes, D-Mac is 100% right. You've got to have a quarterback. You got it. But you know what? What Denver proves right now? Well, you better have a complete team, and you better put that quarterback in positions to win.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We never did that before. There was resistance to that, so we didn't do that before. But this, all of those elements together, and then let's go back to the trust word again. You know, Shane says something to Gino. He's not doubting it. He's just going with it. And so there's a real immediate flow, and that accelerates all the process.
Wow. This is the first time you heard this.
Yeah.
I can tell. This is the first time. Pete Carroll, on with Brock Huard and Mike Salk yesterday. Yeah. We'll have Brock on at 7:45. He can't help himself. Just taking, at first I thought a thinly veiled, no way, that's just an obvious pot shot at Russell Wilson. Come on, Pete. Let it go, man.
No, it's his truth. And he's been he's been dealing with it for years. That is his truth. You could say whatever you want, but there's essentially a trust factor that he says wasn't there. There's a questioning factor that wasn't there.
But you have to do it with throwing Russ under the bus? Huh? I mean, come on. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, well, what...
He knew exactly the message he was trying to convey. Why do you have to do it?
Do we know what the question was? Like...
Yeah, you just explain why this is working so well. Why Geno Smith is playing so well.
Okay.
So talk about the combination of him and Shane Waldron, the offense coordinator. Why is it working?
So let's role play. You ready?
Sure.
I'm going to ask you, and you're going to be Pete Carroll.
Okay. I'm pumped and jacked right now.
All right. So, Pete, what's the difference been? Why is the offense operating, and why is Geno Smith operating at such a high level right now?
Because he and Shane Waldron are really working well together.
That's all you have to say.
Unlike last year when Russell Wilson and...
Why do you have to say that?
You're still implying that it wasn't that way before. There's still an implication just because of the situation that we've been in.
Come on. He was looking, and he is looking for... He's taking a victory lap. Every chance he can.
There is absolutely no question. But you know what? He had to do the opposite for 10 years. Or 8 years, or whatever it was that when Russell Wilson became Russell Wilson. And so now, he feels vindicated. And, listen, human nature to it, don't you, when you make a correct prediction, don't you want to take a little victory lap?
I know the part of you that always is honest by saying, I'm a good loser, I'm a terrible winner.
Yep.
That's
Pete.
That's Pete.
100%.
Yeah, that's Pete.
100%.
Nuggets got a win last night, went into San Antonio. I think that's a really impressive win because even though San Antonio's bad, it was one of those home and home
You had a coach against Pop.
Right. Yeah, Michael Malone. Back-to-back wins over the sainted, legendary Greg Popovich.
Right. Where are all the Nuggets? We need to fire Michael Malone people right
Malone
now.
Malone just went 2-0 back-to-back against Greg Popovich.
Yes.
Malone haters kind of quiet now.
If Greg Popovich coached the Nuggets, would we go undefeated this year?
Oh, we'd never lose a game.
Right. Ever.
Which would be a new record, by the way.
Yeah.
That'd be a new record. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up, Mike Kliss joins us. Broncos no longer have Bradley Chubb. Will they have reinforcements at the ready? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Kliss set to join us here in just a second. I wish I had a better voice to sing some better. I'm going to ask him. I wish I found some chords in an order. What does he think about the idea of Mark Schlereth coaching the Broncos? Hey, we've got a precedent set. All it takes is that first domino to fall. Jeff Saturday?
Yeah.
If Jeff Saturday can do it, why not Mark Schlereth?
Well, there's not a job opening, one. That's why.
Yet.
Look at you. Look at you.
Well, we didn't think Frank Reich was going to be fired.
I get it.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, it kind of did, didn't it?
You want nothing to do with this,
no,
do you?
No.
You do not. Normally, you're like, hey, sure, I'll talk about anything. You do not want to talk about this. So instead, let's talk to Mike Kliss of Nine News, joining us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Yeah, Mike, what do you think? What do you think it would be like to cover a Mark Schlereth coach Denver Bronco team?
Yeah, that came up yesterday during the, as we were awaiting the Nathaniel Hackett press conference. That's kind of the equivalent. Why not? You know?
It can't be much worse than it's been to this point.
Well, you know, chances are it would be a, let's say, a better operating offensive line in the run game.
Well, I know one thing.
The head coach.
Mike, I know one thing. We'd be under center a bunch. That much I can promise you. Hey, let me ask you real quick. The Bradley Chubb trade went down. Bradley Chubb's now in Miami. Reinforcements, where are we at with our edge? Is Browning back for this after the bye week? Like, just how does this whole thing break down? How's the rotation on the edge break down?
Yeah, it's interesting because Benito ordinarily would probably be there. But, you got Derrick Henry here. And I'm not sure Benito is the strongest guy on the edge. It might be Jonathan Cooper. Jacob Martin, I haven't seen him play that much, at the NFL level, so I'm not sure how he is at setting the edge. Baron Browning, I do think, will make it. It'll be tight. He'll he'll be listed as questionable at the end of the week. You can bet on that. And then they'll say game time decision. It's a 3-week injury, and Sunday marks 3 weeks. So he'll be limited in practice this week. Who's the other guy?
What about Randy Gregory? Where are we with Randy Gregory?
Yeah, he's another week or two away. Maybe the Raiders next week, but I think more realistic, the Carolina Panthers the following week.
Mm. Nathaniel Hackett talked about the need to put together a win streak to get back into this. And we're, in my mind, that's a minimum of a 3-game winning streak. Does this team have a 3-game winning streak, not counting the Jacksonville game? Coming out of the bye, this new 9-game season that Hackett was talking about yesterday, does this team have a 3-game winning streak in them?
You know, I'm normally not a this is a big game kind of guy. You know, and this game against Tennessee, even if the Broncos win, they're 4-5 and looking up at everybody in the NFL, just about everybody in the NFL. But I think this is a huge game for many reasons. One, as you're talking about, it does give them a chance and position to where they can win 3 in a row and get to 6-5 and make things interesting. I think this game against Tennessee is big to salvage interest and hope in the season. If they lose this game, it's all over. You know, a lot of people thought it was over when they were 2-5. And maybe that will turn out to be true. But now that they're 3-5, you got Tennessee coming off a tough Sunday night game against the Chiefs. You know, they run the ball like no one else, but they don't score a whole bunch. And the Broncos coming off a bye, this is a real chance for them. This is an opportunity for the Broncos to steal one. Then you got a struggling bad Raider team at home. You got a struggling bad Panther team on the road, and then comes the gauntlet with, you know, a couple games against the Chiefs and everything else. But you can make it interesting if you beat the Titans. If you don't beat the Titans, when you have all these advantages going into the game, then, you know, it's que sera sera for the 2022 Broncos.
Yeah, this Titans game is really interesting to me because I know one thing about them. They're a physical football team. They're going to run the ball. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. They've got a good D line. I would just ask you, like, your gut reaction coming off a bye week and everything else. How do we match up against Tennessee? Can we match that physicality? Can we match that old school style of football that they play?
Yeah, it'll be interesting on the offensively versus their defensive front. I mean, that's where they're exceptional. With Jeffrey Simmons leading the way there, it will be tough. You know, I think, this might be a 6-5 game here, guys. You know, that's how I kind of envision the type of game going for the Broncos. And, you know, if it's low scoring, you know, I think the Broncos have a chance. You know, we now know they're capable of scoring 21 points. So, you know, they had the 3 long drives and maybe a little momentum can swing their way here going into this second half. The defense, I think there's a chance the defense might fall off a tick without Bradley Chubb. And so the offense is going to have to pick it up here, no doubt about it, starting with the Titans game.
Last one, coming off his much-celebrated trip to Mexico, you saw Russell Wilson yesterday. Did he look, I don't know, extra puffy, extra chunky at all?
Nah, he looked the same. He was doing the high steps over the bags there, and he looked pretty good in the limited time we saw him. It was just individual type drills. So yeah, that's another guy. I mean, another week to rest the hamstring. The shoulder no longer bothers him. It's not even on the injury report for the shoulder. So, yeah, it's Russell Wilson had some nice things against Jacksonville. He needs to play well at Tennessee. And, you know, I think he will. I think Russell Wilson will play well, you know, here in the second half.
Okay, let's hope so. Mike, you'll be there. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss of Nine News joining us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Four down territory coming up next. Pete Carroll, not so subtly, continuing to take his shots at Russell Wilson. Pete, you won. Let it go. Show some class. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.